Hi, I'm New York Giants great Joe Namath, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
It's terrible.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neither! Out here, it's just a little bit
strange. Believe that I'm
tripping out.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Jonah Radio. You tuned in just in time to hear the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, good job.
My name is Jonah.
Top of the hour.
Our producer is Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody, how are you? I'm Broadway Joe this week.
What?
Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe.
His nickname was Broadway Joe.
The Simpsons taught me that.
He was like a fancy dude. He would like wear like fur coats and stuff.
That voice you're hearing is Neil Mahoney.
Hi, I showed up.
We'll see. Neil, here's a fun thing before I introduce our guest. Neil, we were hanging out the other day, and he was saying, he's like, you know, I heard this thing on a podcast recently about the guys that work at the trains in Japan. I waited. I was like, oh, yeah? Yeah, and I started listening to Neil tell me the story. And if you also want to hear the story, just like when Neil did, you can listen to the Hampton Young episode of the podcast. Because that's the podcast Neil heard it on when regaling to me that he heard a story on a podcast.
Well, there's nothing grammatically wrong with what he said.
But I was
he
there.
He did hear it on a podcast.
He should have been there last night, man. SL's band at Gasworks, Crucial Tongue. Yeah, we were there. Well, man, they will. We were with you. All right. Our returning guest, a good friend of ours, a collaborator at times, one of our best pals, and one of the best drummers in indie rock. Please welcome Mr. Tony Thaxton.
Hello. Thank you for having me back. Yes. It's been a while. I'm sorry. I have to say this before we get into anything else. Joe Namath was a New York Jet, not a New York Giant.
Jesus. I get those confused. I do.
You know what? I changed my mind. I love your intro. What did you call it? Not a station ID. You called it a you're listening to.
I feel like it's almost like a Canadian patois. It's like, oh, you're here to... I don't know. I'll leave that to Neil. I know Neil has
don't
been...
Don't disparage the great Canadian language.
Yep.
Neil's obsessed with speaking Canadian these days because of the show Letterkenny.
You bet,
I think you were talking to me about that. Was it you talking? Somebody was talking to me about that show recently.
Most likely.
Yeah.
we were at a party a couple of weeks ago, and there was a commotion at the picnic table across the way, and somebody's wife walked up to me and said, like, they're talking about that show, aren't they? And I walked over, and it was a picnic table full of people talking about the Tim... I think you should leave looking at it, but it was like five people, and I feel like Letterkenny is going to be the same thing in like a week. I can't go anywhere. I kind of turned that into a long story. It didn't need to be a long story.
Yeah,
I don't know if it could even be considered a story.
No, it was an anecdote.
You can cut that out, though, right?
But he won't.
Nope.
And I don't know what even the point of it was. It was just, there's another time someone talked about a TV show.
Yep.
People are already talking about Letterkenny.
No, but they weren't at this party. They were talking about a different...
Yeah, they sure were. You know what I've realized?
You guys have like a Socratic method of making me... wander into the idiocy of things that I've said. Like you ask questions and make me correct. It's a very,
very dangerous psychological behavior to say that we made you do anything.
You know what people will never be talking about at a party? This show. There is a reason that we're having Tony Thaxton back. It's not because he's about to embark on a anniversary tour with a Motion City Soundtrack reunited, because bands don't end anymore.
Yeah,
they're like Bebe's kids.
Yeah,
they don't die. They just multiply the amount of years that they said they would be together.
Was that how they described Bebe's kids?
We don't die.
We multiply
the amount of times you thought
I thought
we would.
From Colors.
What?
Like gang members don't die. We just multiply. It's a nice T song, Colors, from the movie Colors.
Colors. Yeah, it's also what Bebe's kids would say. We don't die. We multiply.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't say I ever saw Bebe's Kids.
You didn't see Bebe's Kids?
No.
That guy was a very funny comic. He died.
But he died immediately. Yeah.
Like immediately.
Right? Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that part.
Robin Givens.
So that'd be like, that's like the guy that wrote the song "I'm Gonna Live Forever" dying the day that came out. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Why is it the same thing?
It has nothing to do with it.
Oh. It's Bebe's Kids are the ones not dying and multiplying.
He's Bebe.
He's not Bebe. He's talking about Bebe's Kids.
All
it
right.
literally is in the title. So, Tony, you have a new podcast.
I do.
You're doing the rounds.
I'm trying. I'm excited. I'm having fun with it. You know, much like
Dave Lyons is going to be asking you to be on the Yacht Rock.
Oh, he was already texting me. Oh, well, he didn't text me about being on, but he did say he would plug it on there. So
yeah. Are you sure? Because they don't need a 17th white dude to show up on that podcast and talk about music no one really listens to.
Very protective of it, though.
Yeah. So the new show.
Do you guys
called,
know Dave, guys?
You guys. You guys know Deep Cut? this
good one, Randy.
This podcast of yours is Weird Albums.
Bizarre Albums is the name. Sorry. Yes, that's all right.
Weird Albums.
I thought about Weird Albums because of the Weird Al connection then, kind of, but I thought maybe that might get maybe confused.
Yeah.
Dude is litigious.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I hope not. Legally, he's already supported it, so...
Yeah.
I saw him comment on your Instagram post the other day.
He posted, he retweeted it.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, congratulations, Jonah, on actually selling out.
What do you mean?
All of your albums sold out.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. No, I saw, like, all the vinyl came out. I have some set aside
rules.
For friends and stuff like that, so...
That's great.
I healed it. I think I texted you, we're going to try and do August 23rd or 4th. Are you around?
You did not tell me that.
I just found out today we're going to try and do a hi-hat release show.
Oh, I believe I'm around. Yeah.
All right, great. Okay. Anyway, your Bizarre Albums.
Yes.
When I listen to it, and it's great.
Thank you very much.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Love that.
Thank you. A lot of people have been saying that.
Yeah.
Because initially I was like, is this too short? But I felt like when I started making them, I was like, this... Well, I made two. I have several in the can because I just wanted to like feel it out before I decided.
People don't know showbiz terms. In the can means...
That means in the butt.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? I literally LOL'd.
So they just sort of like naturally were coming out to be about that long without me trying. I was like, well, it seems like maybe that's what they want to be. And it just felt like each episode focuses on a particular album. And so it's like, let's not, you know, make it too long and just, you know, make it longer for the sake of being longer. I feel like I'm telling the story I want
to
tell.
And not doing the thing where it's like, well, I feel like I have to have a guest on and then we'll talk about the album and they'll teach them. But like, it's a produced podcast.
It's very heavily produced. They're almost like... almost like little mini documentaries kind of just like it's so I guess if I didn't really explain it, it's like each episode will focus on an album that's was released by an athlete or an actor or just something like weird concept records, fictional characters, all stuff like that. And then the each episode kind of goes through the story of like how did it even get to the point of this whoever made this album. Mm-hmm. And then I play lots of clips and
great clips. Like cause recently on that you did the wrestling album.
Yeah, yes,
from 1985.
That
that's the only one out. So,
well,
but thank you for listening.
Yeah. the connections you find on these weird albums, like the
these bizarre albums. The artwork is great, by the way.
The Jim Steinman connection to the wrestling album, which I found just fascinating. The dude that wrote like all
Bat Outta Hell,
Bat Outta Hell, all the great
and how
all the Meatloaf songs
and Cyndi Lauper's involvement in early WWF.
It's very strange.
Making. And also, I didn't know she talked like an infant.
I think I kind of didn't
remember that part of her where she's like, oh wow, I want Wessa Wing.
there are several old clips you can find of her on Carson and even like some super old Letterman stuff where she also talked about wrestling. And
how much do you think she was getting paid for that?
Man, I don't know, but it worked. It worked for both parties.
Boyfriend/manager was like a huge
A big wrestling fan, and apparently she was too. I don't know if it was through him that she became one or if she already was.
I think I said on the podcast a couple weeks ago that like when I was in grade school, like lines were drawn and you had to either be a Madonna fan or a Cyndi Lauper fan, and I chose Cyndi Lauper because she was into wrestling.
Oh.
That does. Oh, everything comes around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All one big so herald.
What other topics do you have kind of coming up? If you want, can you tease?
Oh, are we giving some spoilers here? Sure. When is this coming out?
Friday.
All right. I'll give a little sneak peek for the JRLs. The
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
You call them Jonah Races.
Oh. Yeah.
They don't
Last night I was doing the Put Your Hands Together show. And I said, I was just kind of riffing around, and I talked about, like, you know, when you see an old man on a bicycle, most likely DUI, and if you see a guy with a full-on black tattooed sleeved arm, most likely swastika.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got the last after the DUI. After I said swastika, fucking, you could hear a pin drop.
Oh.
And I was like, but I wasn't even like endorsing swastika. Like, and like, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, it's like, I'm not saying it's good. Yeah. And we should be angry. I've been saying this is bad for a long time. I say we should build a wall around Orange County. And you guys didn't want it because all the good ska came from there.
But, all the good ska from Orange County, not Jamaica.
Yeah. That's the joke. Yeah. Thanks, hey, Neil.
Man. Third wave, man. Then you went to and got a drink at the bar and saw the entire black sleeve of the bartender.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you are.
Oh yeah, upcoming. Yeah, that's upcoming, what you stuff. Asked. All right. So yeah, peek ahead. Next week coming. The episodes come out on Tuesday. The next episode is going to be The Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Oh, I love that album.
That was a great. That there's got to be some weird stories behind that.
Yeah, there's some pretty good stuff that I found out about that kind of blew my mind. And,
well, you got Michael Jackson on it, right?
Yeah, but like secretly.
Yeah.
He's not credited anywhere, but he is involved.
But he also doesn't do the voice in the actual episode, right?
He does do the voice, but he doesn't do the singing
That's
voice.
Right, that's yes. right.
You can hear all about it on the next album, next episode of Bizarre Albums.
And it's a great podcast. I really did enjoy listening to it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
And you have a good voice for it, too.
Thank you, because that's the part I was the most paranoid about doing myself.
Really?
Yeah. So thank you. I'm really having fun putting these together, because I found that I just kind of do this sort of finding these rabbit holes on the internet of finding out this weird stuff about these albums, and so I thought, why not try and make something fun with it?
Yeah, yeah. And you get to close the loop on it. Like, you're like, this is the full report. Okay, that didn't. Jesus Christ,
Cash, we let you go. We don't. I want the listeners to know, it's not like we're looking at Cash waiting for him to mess up. In fact, fucking avoid eye contact. Yeah. It's like you don't want to upset the vanilla gorilla.
You know? Wolfman Jack in the Box.
We're really, we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna play a song by not Motion City Soundtrack. Tony's a band that he's gonna be on the road with soon, but from a band that he fills in for sometimes. One of my favorite bands, Braid.
That I fill in for sometimes. I did a tour with them.
But you were talking about like someone was asking you some of your favorite songs to play.
Yeah.
And you said there was a Motion City Soundtrack song, but you said this is probably my favorite song to play, and it was Please Drive Faster by Braid. And we're going to be playing that song right now because we can.
Hell yeah.
This is Please Drive Faster from one of my favorite bands. Braid has one of my favorite drum beats, which is not in this song, which is, of course, New Nathan Detroit.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites as well.
But this is also a very good one. All right. If you're just tuning in, this is Jonah Radio.
Thanks for tuning in.
This is Cash Hartzell and Neil Mahoney's here. We're with our guest, Tony Thaxton, of the new podcast, Bizarre Albums.
Everyone's struggling with that.
No. It is really good. And the artwork is fucking fantastic.
Thank you. That's a guy. I'm going to give him a little plug. Todd Alcott is the guy who did that artwork for
me. I don't give a shit.
Wait, is he related to Louisa May?
Is he going to listen to this podcast?
Who's Louisa May?
Is he going to listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
If he
Guys,
is,
I don't know.
If he is, I'm sorry. And also, thanks for listening. Yeah. If he isn't, why isn't he listening? And I don't apologize.
But check. People should check out his stuff, though.
You know what else people should check out? The next segment in this show, which is a segment where we fucking check out what's going on in the world of music.
And it's called...
Oh, God. That's right. It's Mew. Our new segment, Mew, where we see what's happening in the world of cute cats.
Let's see what's up with Union Dues.
Union Dues.
It's been a few years since I've been on the show, and I'm glad to see it's still a finely oiled machine.
It's like one time, like, Kumail came back after a while, and like we got into it. The three of us. And then like, I was like, oh, that's right. I'm remembering this podcast. I was talking to this guy. I was on this guy's podcast. He's like, oh, and your whole thing with the podcast is that you guys fight. And I go, we try not to. That's like, we don't really want that to be the thing. But if people
Originally, it was the World Negotiation Federation, and then they're like, nobody watches that. Let's get into fighting.
Anyway, it is time for that segment, now known as...
Music News!
Neil Mahoney.
All right. What is playing? Something's playing.
Is it there?
What a gong show.
Yep. Yeah, I don't
what is happening, Cash?
I don't know. Let's just... I'm just going to mute it.
All right.
I think that was actually our last episode was playing.
All right, great. We can cut all this out because it is time for
Music News.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for Music News when we get in deep on the shit that's going on with the ones and twos and the rhythm and blues. That's right. It's time for Music News.
Wow.
Yeah, that
just
happened.
That was, wow. It's like in the background of American Graffiti.
I could see pure delight in your face as you did it, too.
That's why I was always so bad at improv, because like when I thought of something that worked, I let it show. My computer is dead. It is time for Cash, which is out of all the episodes we've been recording where Cash has to now be on it, this is not one for him to be in charge of. You said you were bringing it up in your computer.
And then it stopped working, so I got it all on my phone.
What's up first, Cash?
Well, I know we've talked about Lil Nas X for about 12 weeks running. Tony, are you familiar with Lil Nas X?
Barely.
Well, guess what? The motherfucker is going to like have the longest running charting single of all time.
Yeah.
What?
He keeps releasing remixes. And this week, it's not so much a remix. Blondie, you're familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Blondie decided they wanted to get in on the sound of the future and recorded their own cover or performed their own cover of Old Town Road. Old Town Road is tied the record for most weeks at number one on Billboard Hot 100, so you can see why they wanted to get in. Blondie hasn't had a hit in a while. It's tied with One Sweet Day and Despacito. He's got Lil Nas X has another remix coming, featuring Mason Ramsey and Young Thug and Debbie Harry.
We already
Harry.
Played that one.
Yeah. But
you know what? Here's a crazy thing. So, you know, we've been talking about Lil Nas X for... we only hear him in the context of the internet.
Yeah.
I was at a fucking restaurant the other night, and that Young Thug, Gordon Ramsay... What's the kid's name? Gordon Ramsay?
Gordon Ramsay Jr.
Oh, the yodeling kid?
Yeah, the Walmart yodel kid, the remix with the Old Town Road. Fucking heard it. Like, it was like...
In the playing, wild.
I heard it in the wild.
I've heard it pulling up and leaving clubs when I've been driving a lot. Yeah. Like, just... Gay club, straight club, doesn't matter. Everybody loves the Old Town Road.
Do you think the Blondie audience knew this? Or at least maybe the Blondie audience's kids that were dragged to the show?
Yeah.
Also, you think Blondie might do a disco version of it?
Yeah. So they just played it live. They haven't released it.
No, they just played it.
Okay.
It kind of sounds like Bush is covering it.
Yeah. Glycerin. Yeah, so that's pretty crazy. The Blondie is now on the train of.
Yeah, how do you think they came across that? That's what this story doesn't really go into. Is like,
well, I mean, you know, I think
it's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's the zeitgeist, man.
Well, like, we're covering it, so we're the voice of the zeitgeist.
We are the youth. I'm on TikTok, dog. I got on TikTok thinking that I don't know. I was feeling not old enough.
I've been thinking about this. I know you're already there. What do you think the market for me on Cameo might be?
$5 deals, man. $5 footlongs.
Is that what I need to do? Is like,
I got to really
every time I want lunch.
So for those who don't know, Cameo is a service where you could just like pay somebody to like give you a personalized video message. And I got on it just because Kurt Braunohler told me to. And I got like him a $50 bonus for signing up. And
yeah. Oh boy.
And he's got a kid or two. So I got to, you know, do that shit. I got to help out my friends, even though he's on fucking AT&T commercials and I am losing my insurance. But, you know, we got to look out for each other in the community is what I always say. And so I got on it.
Cross, dude.
And I've done a bunch and it's a lot of fun. But it was weird when I was at that Florida SuperCon. It was like I was at a table like in the green room with all the other people signing autographs. So it was me next to Mick Foley, fucking Mankind.
Yeah.
Fucking the lady who did the voice for Ariel and Little Mermaid, George Takei, Felicia Day, Nick Frost. Fucking Malfoy's dad, Jason Isaacs. Like, we're on this table, we're all eating these terrible wraps that were provided. And everyone's talking about Cameo. And everyone's like, I don't know. It's like, what are you, like people paying for the thing? And it's like, and I was just like everyone's kind of complaining about it. And I was like, what do you think we're all doing here?
We all flew to Florida.
Yeah.
You could have done this for a fucking basement, bud.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Nick Frost, are you local? Was this a drive for you?
And like, you know, and Mick Foley was the one that was like, he's like, fucking dude's right. Like, that's right, Mankind.
Mick Foley seems awesome, by the way.
He is so sweet. I'm actually, the con I'm going to this weekend, Raleigh, WonderCon, SuperCon, or whatever it is, Mick Foley's going to be there, and I really hope he remembers me. Because he came up to my table later on, he's like, hey, I just want to say it was really fun like hanging with you. You're very funny to watch. Like, wow. It was just like,
that's great.
It was like, he was just very like giving with like compliments. And me and him had a long conversation about like, because he got a flip phone. He's like, I got rid of my smartphone.
Oh, wow.
I got rid of Twitter. He's like, I'm trying to like kind of disconnect. And I sometimes even just leave the smartphone behind. I was like, flip phone behind. And like, I was like, is that good? Do you recommend it? Because I've been thinking about doing that. He's well, an old friend came to this, an old friend like came to this con to say hi to me, and I missed them by like a half an hour. And if I had a smartphone, I would have got their text.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And I kind of, he's like, but that doesn't happen too much. Yeah. Also, I need to know where I'm going before I leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to print out directions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get on that MapQuest.
Yeah, exactly. Print them out. But anyway, so I don't know how we got into the Cameo of it all. But
I brought it up.
Because cash wants to be a Cameo.
I guess I'm going to... I guess this is where most people on the internet would know me from, is the Jonah Radio podcast. So I'm going to the Jonah Radio listeners and saying, should I sign up for Cameo? Would you take advantage of it?
Let us know, John Ether. How much money were you willing to spend?
$5
Ether
to John. Watch Cash jerk off.
No.
But here's a scary thing.
I'll open your wedding.
Your wedding.
I'll wish.
Your weddings usually have openers, right?
Just a guy that...
I got
a looming face.
Deanna
tells you to.
She texted me. She's like, she was hanging out with Robin Von Swank, and she was like, hey, like, Robin's showing me. I'm not sure if you know this, but FYI, your cameos are public if you don't make them private. And I was like, because there's a lot of weird shit, and I kind of went like, oh shit, did I? And I tried to like scan through all the ones I did. I was like, most of them were just for, you know,
happy birthday or whatever.
Happy birthday or like kids, you know. Yeah. Like, but it was a weird moment where I was like, did I mess up? Did I accidentally like go? I go anyway. You're really cute.
Yeah.
you accidentally wandered into a fetish. You thought it was completely normal.
And I did endorse some like terrible documentary about weed legalization, and I was like, "Where are we at?" But yeah, it's an odd thing. But anyway, next up,
moving on. Liam Gallagher, always a favorite on our show, has announced.
Love Liam Gallagher.
Liam.
His two singles off the next album, they're so good.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be highlighting some of those and some of his well-loved hits on MTV Unplugged.
MTV Unplugged in the UK, still a thing, I'm hearing.
I guess it's still here. The recent performances of Bleachers and Shawn Mendes, both.
Oh, fucking Bleachers. Yeah, yeah. That's the, what's it? It's Mr. Mr. Bad. Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Girls?
Mr. Girls.
Yes. Oh. That's his name.
Oh, that guy that's going with that girl from Girls.
But they broke up.
Oh, yeah?
They had an unconscious recoupling. I was just trying to make fun of celebrity breakups.
I think that's name rape.
Because wasn't that the thing with Chris Martin and...
what's her name?
And Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop.
Yeah. Gooper.
Yeah, so he's doing that. It is just a UK thing. He announced it in a tweet saying, I'm honored to be performing the legendary
show. I'm sorry, Cash, please, if you could do your best, Liam, while reading this tweet.
Oh, Jesus. Wamana did be... Hold on.
Why don't you just do it like an Oasis song?
I'm honored to be performing at the legendary showcase that is MTV Unplugged. I'd love it if you could join us, as it's sure to be a biblical evening. P.S. I love Hull.
What?
I love Hull?
Hull.
Oh, the town of Hull?
The apparent affection for Hull is probably something of a dig at his brother, Noel, who called the city a fucking shithole.
Oh.
Still.
There's a Hull, Massachusetts as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it shitty?
It sounds terrible.
No. It's, you know, on par.
Isn't Hull where the original office was set?
No,
that was Slough.
Slough.
Yeah. That's a great name.
Slough.
Slough. Because it was
S-L-O-U-G-H.
Huh, they're fun. What else is up in the music in the world of music news?
Well.
Hold on. What else is up in the world of music news? That's right.
In other Oasis news, this is something I texted to Jonah earlier this week. A$AP Rocky?
A$AP Rocky, who is currently being held by the Swedish government for getting into a fight. Also, I believe Kanye called Trump.
Yes, to see if he could get them out.
See if he could get them out.
Which is
great. A lot of people are going like, I hope he lets that rapper out.
Fun fact. Relative of mine works in the Swedish legal system and was part of the team that arrested Snowden. Or not Snowden, Assange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kept him bottled up there. I think she probably might have something to do with this one, too.
Oh, well, apparently it's very big news in Europe because somebody asked Liam Gallagher what he thought about A$AP Rocky getting arrested, and he thought A$AP Rocky was called WhatsApp Ricky.
Which is very funny when, because I've been spending some time in the UK and they do not like texting.
No.
They don't like iMessage.
Really?
They all use WhatsApp.
Why come?
I don't know.
It's free. Free, right? Over international. So
but it's also like free there.
Yes. It's free here. But
like,
we have iMessage.
I don't care. Charged to text.
But I think out there they still do. I think there's still text plans.
And I think it still goes through your data.
Like encrypted or something. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook also owns it.
Well, I remember when I was looking for illicit substances from a friend, I texted before going to that show, the Dead & Company show, and he responded with, he's like, well, man, you know I'm sober now. I don't do that stuff. Also, I'm really into this new app called WhatsApp. Let's talk there.
Let's talk there.
You know. Well, speaking of politics.
Were we?
Well, the politics is the drug war.
Also, I'm not sure if you guys watched that Mueller symposium, but it's like I was watching it, and every time he would kind of answer, and he had great hair, but
Silver
like
Fox.
It looked like every time I watched an interview where someone was trying to ask David Lynch about his movies. Where I'm just like, I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's what do I need to, it's yeah. all just watch the movie. Watch the movie.
That's fantastic. Save that for stage.
Yeah, that'll kill just as hard as it did here. Just polite giggles. I know what I'll do. I'll say swastika.
Good one, Randy. Yeah. Good one. Burn.
Would I recommend you to prosecute? Maybe. I don't know.
Damon Albarn came out this week and criticized Morrissey's support for far-right.
Damon Albarn from Blur and the Gorillaz.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the soundtrack for Ravenous.
Oh. I don't know what that movie is.
You don't remember Ravenous?
Vampire movie?
No, it was like a Old West cannibal movie.
I remember that
it came out
in
99, I think, or 2000.
Like the Donner Party?
No. Historical cannibals? It was before that. It was a fictional movie, and it was kind of like made like a horror movie, but it was just, and it was a. The guy who played Bigby, I think, was in it. What's that guy?
I just heard, he just came up on something else. Oh, isn't he? That guy's in Yesterday, I hear.
Oh, really? I do want to see Yesterday.
I hear it's not great. I do want to see it, though.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun. And also,
it's Danny Boyle.
It's like, Danny Boyle. So whatever it is, it'll be paced like a motherfucker. You'll be fucking on a ride. It will. Be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it, but I've heard but not great things.
I never would have thought, like, Danny Boyle, the guy who brought you Trainspotting, and the writer for Love Actually, finally getting together.
That means there's only like 12 directors and 12 writers in England, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The fact that they actually got matched up. Well, Damon Albarn came out against Morrissey, who we've talked about probably about as much as we've talked about Lil Nas X.
Well, just the fact that Morrissey is...
he keeps stepping on his dick.
Fucking completely right-wing...
Built to spare parts, bud.
He's a racist. He literally wants to keep England white.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what these guys are saying. But they're saying, Damon Albarn saying he lives in California. Like, why is he even allowed to have an opinion basically about the UK? You don't live here. You don't know anything.
Well, that's what they were saying. Cause even, John Cleese from Python and, Fawlty Towers, he was like doing a bunch of stuff. He's like, I miss the old England. And it's like, everyone's like, you've been living in Jamaica for like fucking like 20 years. What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, John Cleese from The Great Muppet Caper. That's what you're talking about. Yes.
The most Tony Thaxton response.
This is what he said. You don't live in the country. You shouldn't be dabbling in its politics because you have to have a sensitivity to understand. You have to live amongst the emotional world of the people as well, not just the idea of something. I think if you want to be miserable in English, you got to be miserable in English. You know, really be it.
That's true. Man, Morrissey, it's crazy. It is so funny to me because it was for so long, it was like everyone was always so blown away by the fact that he was embraced by the Latino community.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, the Latinos go crazy for Morrissey.
Yeah.
You know, they have Morrissey Con out in like Riverside. It's huge. He's huge with that community. And now he's like outwardly racist.
It's the most concrete evidence you'll ever see of someone throwing away goodwill. Like, I can't think of anything more. Maybe if like Liberace came out and was like, I hate women.
Oh, what?
Guys, I'm making points over here.
You were doing real good. I might just give you music news all the time.
All right.
I like reacting to it.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. Maybe I'll start doing it.
See how much fun it is to take shots from the balcony?
Dude, I fucking take shots from the front row. It's my job.
Nailed it.
Also, I don't think we mentioned it last time when it happened, but Janet Weiss left Sleater-Kinney.
Yeah.
One of my favorite drummers, and she left one of my favorite bands, and it's crazy to me. And then she did announce that she's doing another Quasi. Quasi is doing another tour.
Cool.
The band she has with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me speculative, and it also gives me a little bit, like, it makes me feel kind of good that she left the band, like, right after I didn't get into that movie that Carrie Brownstein's making.
Obviously, she was sticking up for you, and, it didn't go
walked
that
out on principle.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It is...
I'd rather leave believe there's something.
You didn't hire who? That's her drumming style. No. Someone said, like, she once told me when they were on the Nerdist, I was like, I'm a really huge fan of your drumming style. She's like, yeah, it's gotten some bad reviews. And I go, oh, really? What was like the worst one? She's like, shoes in a dryer.
Oh,
boy.
But they just finished an album, right?
Yeah, they just finished it, and the tour's about to start. And I think now she's leaving.
From the tour.
Yeah, she boned out.
Tony, when you hear that, is it like the mercenary freelance musician in you going like, I play drums?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, every now and then I hear that, but then, yeah, I did, there was a big, I'll even say legendary band that I did audition for several years ago. Ooh. It's the only time I've ever done something like that. No.
Then tell us who it is, you fucking idiot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I auditioned for Bad Religion.
Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. You would have had to put so much product in your hair. Like that.
What? I mean, I think you, growing up, you would have dreamed to be the 17th drummer of Bad Religion. What? Josh Freese not available? What's going on?
Right? I know.
When was this?
This was the end of 2015.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
It was right before I ended up going and doing the. What was the Motion City Farewell Tour?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you auditioned and you didn't get it?
I did not get it.
Who got it? Do you know him?
I don't know him, but I guess it was the guy that was in Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Oh, okay.
He's a real four on the floor guy, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. Do you think you were too flashy for him?
I tried to play the parts like they were on the records. They were holding yourself back. All those guys were super cool, and they...
What songs did you play?
Oh, boy.
Father, can you hear me?
Yeah, I did do that.
Because they got to know if you could do that dub style.
Yeah, which was the part where I sucked, I will admit that.
Really? You can't do the fucking dub?
That one was particularly hard. I can do a little bit of it, but...
I know you're really white, but like, I wasn't sure.
I'm totally blanking on what else I had to do.
W? Oh, you want me to come in and do the W on that? Not the dub. The W. I am afraid people can't see me. I don't know what I'm selling.
You're getting married soon. Well, that's it for music news. Except for this last
your ass with your socks.
Recently, Mountain Goats were on the Colbert Show, Late Show Colbert, and they have a new album out. But Colbert asked if they could play the song This Year, which is one of my favorite songs. Also, like one of the theme songs for one of the best Channel 101 shows, Classroom. And so he asked them to play it, and then he ends up joining in. So we're going to take you out of music news with this clip from Late Show with Colbert, where Mountain Goats, along with John Worcester, former guest.
No big deal.
No big deal. We had John Worcester on the podcast. It's not really
keep
big deal.
The change.
Here is that clip from, and we'll be right back after where we talk about weird or bizarre music.
Mountain Goats' new album is called In League with Dragons. This next song is not from that album. It's a great album, but this next song is not on that album. Because I asked them to play this song for me, because it's one of my favorite songs of theirs. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mountain Goats.
I'm free on a Saturday. things to come. Down shifted as I turned into the driveway. The motor screaming out, it was stuck in second gear. The scene is badly as you might imagine. In a cavalcade of anger and fear,
sing it.
There will be feasting and dancing in Jerusalem next year. I'm gonna make it through this year. If it kills me, I am gonna make it through this year. If it kills me.
Goat.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if we had to take a pause or anything.
No, we're good. That was the Mountain Goats on
Why are you doing
CBS's
voice?
Late Show. Used to be hosted by David Letterman. He passed the torch on to Stephen Colbert, and he joined them there on vocals.
He didn't pass no torch. They just the powers that be.
The show away, and then they gave it to.
But I've listened to interviews.
Dave had no say.
Dave welcomed him in.
He walked away.
Fun
fact about Stephen Colbert. Real name, Colbert.
Yep.
Just decided it was Colbert at one point.
Yeah.
Funny.
Unfun fact, lost his father and four of his brothers.
All right. It is time for our theme for this week. Neil? That's right. So in honor of having Tony Thaxton.
Wait, I got it right?
I don't know anymore. I take whatever. I'm trying to be okay with whatever you do.
Thank you.
I don't think it's...
You ever hear Matt Dwyer? Matt Dwyer has a good impression of a guy that finally tries to cry after having tried not to for years, which is a...
Matt Dwyer, big fan of Letterkenny.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, who do you think told him to watch it?
Did you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And the Late Show used to be hosted by David Letterkenny.
Texas size 10-4, good bud.
All right, anyway, so Tony Thaxton has his great new podcast, Bizarre Albums, and it got us thinking, what are some of the weird songs, be they novelty or a weird song from a band? There's something that's just kind of an odd song that we like in the world of... music.
That's a bit broader than I took it. I just went straight novelty.
Oh, you went straight novelty.
I wasn't sure which way to take it.
We'll get to this as we go through it. So
that's one of the great things about our themes is they're
this
very
one, not,
vague.
Not really. I just that was
mostly communicated over text 3 hours before we start.
Yep. Yeah, this was a few days ago.
Yeah. It was actually.
So
I got back to you real quick though, didn't I?
You sure did. So let's start with you, Neil.
I got fired.
Neil, let's start with you.
Oh, okay. I picked. I think it's a 1975. Track by Dave the Hammer Schultz, a right winger, I believe, for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh,
I'm sorry. When you say right winger, is that a hockey term or a political term?
That is a hockey term.
Okay.
He's a Canadian from Rosetown, Saskatchewan.
So he's
definitely
a liberal.
Definitely look him up. He's he looks bizarre.
Yeah.
It's a very
how bizarre.
70s look.
How bizarre.
Big
how
bizarre.
Big push broom mustache, kind of like a afro, red afro kind of look. He was part of the Broad Street.
And what's this song?
Well, it's called Penalty Box. And it's
why did he make this?
Because they were very popular at the time. They won three cups in 4 years.
So they were the Chicago Bears of the hockey world.
Well, they were the Philadelphia Flyers of the hockey world.
Well,
real quick, Neil.
Yeah.
Is there a Chicago Bears in hockey?
No.
No. But most people will know about the song, the Super Bowl Shuffle, from the Chicago Bears. Am I not right?
I don't know anything about football.
So therefore, one would say, to help the audience understand the context of such a thing of saying that they were very popular, a hockey team in the 70s, you would say that they are maybe... do you take my question?
I reject it on principle.
I want our listeners to have a big knob that vacillates between who
sure
they think
do.
Is...
yeah.
It
I need you to take about 25% off that big knob talk there, Super Chief.
Soup Chief.
Am I a train? Did you
all right,
tell me
so
a train?
Tell us about the song.
It's
Did they have a whole album? Is it the
No, it was a 7-inch. So okay. It's
45 they'd called back in the day.
Yeah, I forget what they what the B-side was, but it's like this really dumb, like ragtimey kind of like just dumb song where it's like maybe you're gonna put me in the penalty box, like he's in the doghouse, so to speak.
Dave Schultz. 2 minutes for hooking, 2 minutes for roughing,
oh. Yeah.
5 minutes for fighting, and a 10-minute misconduct.
Is this a 19-minute song?
Yeah, I was gonna say it'd be so great if they were just baby,
how long it's a good concept
will
album.
You keep me in the penalty box?
Literally just baby, speaks the words.
I'm wrong.
Hold up, Neil. Are we all aware that Neil called this music ragtime?
what's that genre?
Ragtime is like...
Yeah, it's
smackety,
like...
Smackety, smackety,
how is this? That's exactly what it sounds like to me.
But it's lonely in the penalty box.
This is fucking Emmett Otter. This yeah. isn't ragtime.
This well, wasn't that...
This is a band that was put together to educate.
How many pairs of sunglasses you bring, bud?
Fucking two, dude. Will you keep me in the penalty box? A sub pop,
like a nice hockey game. Sometimes
gas station.
So this is a straight up, like, they didn't bother making a full album because they knew they were going to sell a full album. They're like, let's make a song that will be popular in the Philadelphia region of Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
because Philly was crazy for ragtime in the 70s.
There are a lot of these, like, teams or athletes that did a song.
Yeah. Like, what?
Ooh.
Yeah, a little, zither synth or whatever it's called.
What is this called, Tony?
I don't know. Just a synth. I don't know. I don't know what specifically that is.
This is like the only way to walk to this the is song like a... is with very long legs towards the camera, Art Crumb style.
Yeah, like the Keep on Trucking guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Tony Danza has a tattoo of that guy.
Of the Art Crumb?
The Keep on Trucking dude.
Yes, from Art Crumb.
I don't know, artists.
You know... You know how many times I've seen American Splendor, dude? that's very good. I would never have come across that. And
Dave, the Hammer Schultz.
Yeah,
he's really funny in this documentary about hockey fighters called the Last Enforcers or something, or Ice Guardians is what it's called. And
Guardians.
Yeah, and they ask him, "Is like, so why do you think you fought in so many hockey games?" And he's like, "You know, I should probably see a shrink."
That's very like, funny.
I don't really know. Once I started, I could never stop.
Wow.
And he's like, and then, you know, he won a bunch of Stanley Cups and then he retired and that was it.
And so he...
But now he looks like everyone's favorite uncle.
And so this guy, who's like Fred the Fog Sherrow?
Fred the Fog Sherrow. He was a legendary coach of the Broad Street Bullies. Very like weird, enigmatic guy. Like didn't really talk to the players much.
And he was the coach of this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he used to leave. He basically would like go into the locker room, leave inspirational quotes on a chalkboard, and then just never talk to the players.
Wow.
Really.
Wow.
These are some of the things to avoid criticism: say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing.
Yeah. I sent you that one.
Yeah. You sent me that one.
This guy sounds like what was the Spielberg movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? Catch Me If You Can. He Catch Me If You Can'd a hockey coach thing where it's just like, I'm just going to go in.
Yeah,
I got some inspirational stuff. And then if they come and talk to me, I'm just going to.
I don't really know. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He made a whole hockey career out of it. Nobody ever found out.
They called him Fox because he was like kind of hard to understand. You never really could see what he was trying to do. Mostly the assistant coaches were like kind of running things.
Here's some other Fred Sherrow quotes. Win together today and we walk together forever.
Yeah.
That also sounds like it could be like a straight edge hardcore lyric.
Yeah.
Win together today. We walk together forever.
I feel like that's what Neil would be doing in a different life is just taking hockey quotes and making hardcore songs.
It could be like
10-yard fight. No, that's football.
No. What was the band? There was the guys from No Means No.
The Brothers.
Yes. From
Slapshot.
From Slapshot.
Oh, the...
Ether John, please let us know where we're wrong. And also, he wanted me to make a correction. This is a letter to the podcast. It's pronounced cupcake, not cupcakey.
No, it's a regional thing. You can say cupcakey.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. English. She's English.
No, she's from Chicago. Like Detroit.
I've never heard Cupcakey in my life.
She did a she did her own version. She did a parody of
we're a hand
Nas
down
X's Old Town Road. I would usually play it at this point, and I would have played it earlier too. Gonna take your dick, put it in my hole. Gonna ride till I can't no more. Other quotes from Fred Sherrow: success is not the result of spontaneous combustion. You must first set yourself on fire.
Yeah.
Oh.
That does sound like it would be a Shelter lyric.
Yeah.
This is okay. Don't read all of them. This is a future game. Is hardcore lyric or inspirational hockey?
That's
coach.
A great idea.
I think there's also a story about like I think they're like playing the Atlanta Thrash or no the Atlanta Flames or something. And like he just went out one night by himself after a game and just showed up and he had the shit kicked out of him and just wouldn't tell anybody what
Jesus.
Happened.
Wow.
Other songs that Neil wanted to talk about was Osama Yo Mama.
Yeah. Remember the Ray Stevens joint?
Right I said favorite.
Huh?
Well, he was anti Osama from the beginning.
Hey, listen, we were all anti Osama bin Laden.
Well, he made it like his personality for a while.
He did.
I used to have a Ray Stevens Mississippi Squirrel T-shirt.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I was working at that music magazine when all that stuff went down, and his album came out like in October.
You know what? Like Neil Young also had a song that came out right after 9/11. Was like Let's Roll, which was the United Flight
93 or whatever.
Yeah, United Flight 69, which is the porn parody of that movie. Did you see it?
Terrible.
Yeah, a lot of shaky camera work.
Yeah, Let's Roll was like when they all start 69ing.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So let's go next with we're going to go over to
69/11. I was trying to think of something.
69/11, Tony.
Oh man,
tweet that.
That is
tweet that. Or
that has literally been sitting on the table for 18 years.
Everyone's
and nobody
been scared.
Hit.
There's been like probably hundreds of people, thousands of people going like, oh, shit, 69/11. I can't.
The thumb is just above tweet button. You
how
just
many
can't
drafts?
Quite hit it.
How many drafts is that tweeted? All right, Tony, what's your yours is interesting.
And I went.
I haven't had a chance to change it over.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I went a different route. As we said, there were many different ways to interpret this, and because there's a million things I could have done as my love of the bizarre music thing.
Download Apple Podcasts.
Yes. But I thought, like, I'll kind of go a different way with this, and I'll go for a weird song by a weird band that it seems like I shouldn't like, but I have a weird soft spot for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoy System of a Down. I've told a lot of people that I like them, and it shocks them, and
you know
they laugh at me.
I was like,
"Why they don't think you're Armenian?"
I was like, "I don't like it because I lump them into
exactly new metal. Yeah, like the new metal kind
of."
And
I didn't realize that they were fucking like one of the most avant-garde bands get on pop radio in the modern era.
And they don't take themselves seriously. They kind of they're actually
and they're also
funny
like politically and, like progressive and woke and you know
they're way
and
they, more Frank Zappa than they are Limp Bizkit.
They're just saying that because the guy is like Armenian and has a mustache.
Exactly.
Okay. But it's so
I've kind of enjoyed them for a long time.
And what's this song?
This song is from a weird like B-sides album, I believe. And
it was called Steal This Album.
Yes. And I think that if I remember right, I think it didn't even have a cover. It literally just had the CD and it looked like a CDR. And
I remember them. I remember that they basically a bunch of soldiers came back from the war and told them like, we blast your music whenever we're like out and like want to intimidate people. They're like, that's fucking horrible. So they just wrote an album of like, hey, you should be nice to people and like completely changed their point of view for that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So this is just like a super like heavy, silly song. Lights are out, burning hard.
Can I hear him say pizza pie?
Yep.
Yeah. Wait for this though. Here we go. Pepperoni
and green peppers, mushrooms, olive chives. Yes. Pepperoni and green peppers, mushrooms, olive chives. Meat therapy, therapy. Advertising causes meat therapy. Is this Neil's theme song? Advertising causes meat therapy. 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 This is great.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's the perfect, you're right. It's the perfect example of they have a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Like, you don't hear this song and think, these guys are taking themselves seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, you know, it's so funny too, because it's, you know, our friends, the Manx, really, it, like, you know, they embody this like crazy frenetic style of.
You're just saying that because Mike's Armenian.
Touche, Neil. Touche.
Jonah Radio.
Yeah, that's good, because this is like something that people wouldn't say System of a Down, then they would think of like pizza pie. La, 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 la. Also, they could have easily gotten into, and I don't know, we didn't listen to the whole song, but it seems like they were so close the whole time going, pizza pie, la 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 la.
Well, the funny thing is, I meant to send you another song, but I was like, either are totally fine because they're equally ridiculous.
Yeah.
The other one that I sent you almost does do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm next, and mine is, when I got the Dr. Demento, I think it was the 15th. Anniversary like collection. It was a double CD. I got it from the Borders at Kahala Mall. After seeing a movie, probably, I don't know, Liar Liar or something like that. I'm not sure.
He absolutely knows.
But I remember getting this and being really stoked because it was like, I liked Weird Al, and Weird Al was on it. And I was like, it actually is what opened me up to it, all of the crazy novelty songs. And you know, the weirdos, like Frank Zappa was on it with Dancing Fool. Hello Mudda, Hello Fada was on it. I remember my dad going like, I remember that song. And there was all this stuff that, you know, was really old and cool. And one of the ones that fucking made me like go like, what is this? One was like something existential blues. But this one was so crazy. And I remember like being like, no one else ever heard of it. And like where I was from, I would always talk about it. Everyone never heard the song. Everyone knew the song. No one knew it. And then I remember watching fucking Full House once. And like Danny Tanner, he had a guitar and he's like, hey, no, hold on. Like the party's not ruined. I'll sing a song. And he starts singing this song. They're Coming to Take Me Away, by Napoleon 14.
I also know this from Dr. Actually, I know this from Dr. Demento and The Monkees.
Oh.
Well, The Monkees?
I'll explain. Anyhow, and then the days got
worse and worse. And now you see I've and it's like completely really weird.
Yeah.
And they're coming to take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. And then it gets scary. This is a scary farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away. You thought it was a joke, and so you. Yeah. So that's
from what year is that from, Dean? It's like early 60s?
That's your job, dude.
No, because I think I did eventually hear that on Dr. Demento when I was very young, but I initially knew it, you know, like when you, it's like how I've become now of like learning popular songs from Weird Al. Where I learned that song initially from on the Monkees first album. There's a ridiculous song called Gonna Buy Me a Dog. And as the whole song is them just kind of dicking around.
Yeah.
And as it's fading out, Davy Jones starts going, they're coming to take me away. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, crazy. Wow. So that was them like mentioning the song. You know, it's funny because that song just reminded me of this thing that I played when I was doing that Rated R bar, the horror bar thing. And this is off of like Dana Gould makes, and I've talked about this before, he makes like Halloween music playlists. Like he knows tons of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was this song. I guess it was like, I can't remember who the guy was, but they were on, it was the late night show that had like a lot of weird shit on it.
Craig Ferguson?
No, from like the 60s.
That special?
No, it was a talk show. It wasn't like Steve Allen, but it was some other guy. He had a bunch of weird shit on it.
Tim was on his own.
But like, this is... Lonely, unmarried, looking for love. No. Life was passing me by. So I sent off my photo, hobbies and age. Magazine marriage I'll try. They say for centuries, lovely Japanese girls have been trained in the art of pleasing men.
Be lonely no more, open destiny's
door. For $1 they arrange a meeting.
Wait, my image was wrong. I didn't like me, so I changed my personality.
It's about like this guy just changing the way he looks.
I bought a deluxe Mersey
Beach. I have heard
but
this
it was
before.
A size yeah. too big.
It sounds but vaguely familiar to me.
My new built up shoes, so smart.
It's like a Tim Burton song.
Summer,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here it comes.
Normal everyday use. Look out, there's a monster coming.
So when you get to the end of the song, it gets fucking like.
Jesus, literally. Look out, there's a monster coming. Look out, there's a monster coming.
Oh, Jesus.
Look out, there's a monster.
That's scary.
Look out, there's a monster coming.
Coloring outside the
look
lines
out,
there.
There's a monster coming.
This is in the 60s, early
yeah.
60s. Anyway, that's what that reminded me of, that, like, you know, coming to take you away, haha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the novelty song that's terrifying instead of
yeah.
being a novelty.
Yeah.
I just found this recently, and then I literally found a copy of it, and I was very excited. This will be months away. I'm going to save it for Halloween time. Ooh. But I am going to do an
you
episode.
You do a whole Halloween month.
Yeah, probably. But I found, I had no idea this existed. I think it came out in like 87 or something.
Is it the sequel to Monster Mash?
No.
Oh.
But there is a Christmas version by the same guy.
Yes, that's what
called Monsters Spinning? Holiday. Yeah. It's basically the exact same song with Christmas lyrics. Well. But anyways, there is a album called Freddy's Greatest Hits by the Elm Street Group.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
Robert Englund is on it and everything.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, yeah. it's funny. And when you're on your episode about the wrestling album, I was like waiting because you kept on saying, like, oddly, Hulk Hogan's not involved in it.
Yeah.
He was the biggest star at the time. And I wanted to be like, it's like, wow, yeah, but... In 94, he released
mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan, the Wrestling Group Band's album, which I like used as my in my stand-up act for years,
yeah. Yeah.
like, you know, talking about that stuff. And if we could do that as a live one, I'd love it.
Hey, if I can get to the point where I do live shows, I would love it.
Yeah, yeah. It would be very fun.
And I have a giant list of records I plan on getting to, and that's definitely yeah. there. Yeah.
And that's like, the thing is, it's like, and it makes me kind of go... Because one of the jokes I made about that Wrestling Boot Band album with the Hulk Hogan one, I was like, it's in 94. And by that time, music had changed forever. Cute Smells Like Teen Spirit guitar intro. But like, it's like,
yeah.
like everything, it's like, but this sounded like it was made like when the first Casio keyboards came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder.
If
some of those songs were made.
If the, oh, yeah, interesting.
So it wasn't them keeping Hulk Hogan off the wrestling album so much as they're like, no, Hogan needs his own thing if this is going to be
yeah,
a success.
Yeah, but then it kind of kept on getting pushed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe. And I do think Jimmy Hart was involved in that one
he
also.
He was, yeah. If you want to be a Hulkamaniac, I can sure tell you how to stay on track. You got to eat your greens, eat your vitamins too. These are the things that the maniacs do. Positive thoughts and positive deeds. These are the things that make you succeed. Always be kind to your family and friends because they're the ones who will help you in the end.
I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
Guys, if you ever go out to dinner with Jonah, he does this like grace right before a meal. Everybody has to say it with him. It's really weird.
Also, I love what's from that one is... what's it?
Beach
called?
Patrol.
Beach Patrol, yeah. And it's like the opening of it, it sounds like how it sounds like when you put it on like a keyboard, mm-hmm. like the record scratch.
Chick-a-choo,
chick-a-choo, chick-a-choo, chick-a-choo, burger. And it's I was looking down the beach, looking for some action, had my radio set to the rap station. Saw a couple girls giving me some action. It's been too long. Something to give you a sticky situation. It's the Beach Patrol. We are the party people.
There are a lot of wrestlers with albums.
Yeah,
it's weird.
The Macho Man
one is pretty great too.
Are there any like singer songwriter wrestlers? Like, are there?
I
like,
think there actually is a guy currently that like his shtick is that he like plays guitar
went,
and stuff.
With Garrett to the WWE.
We went to Raw, right? Or?
Yeah, it was Monday Night Raw, and some guy came out and just like played a song on acoustic guitar, and I was like, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years. Like, I have no idea what's going on. I was like, okay, yeah, it makes as much sense as any of this shit.
CM Punk should have put out a fucking straight edge hardcore punk wrestling album.
He still can.
He kind of like is, you know. He seems to have excused himself. I'm calling you out, CM Punk. all right, so Cash.
Yes.
Neil played a song from a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
You played a crazy weird song from
System of a Down.
Mm-hmm. I played They're Coming to Take You Away, haha. Very kind of crazy novelty song.
Everybody in this played songs that were in the theme, but they're not playing the game I am. My goal.
You played one of my. You picked one of my favorite songs.
This is not it. Don't.
That was actually that is actually the game music, Neil. That's the song you should have played earlier when we got into this.
And we were not, but for the listener, we were not talking about Who to Let the Dogs Out.
Yeah.
Although that could qualify as it's a novelty
song. So tell us about this.
So when you said weird, I obviously went to Weird Al and I was like, oh, he doesn't mean that. But
yeah, real 1-to-1 there, Cash. Yeah.
But I went with accordion because accordion is not an album or not a sound that I heard a lot in pop music. And They Might Be Giants was a band that popped out as their songs are kind of novelty songs, like the ones I knew, like Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Yeah, can't confirm.
They're not serious songs, but they're still.
But then you picked probably like their most serious song.
Yeah.
But Anna Ang.
Yeah. But this was the first They Might Be Giants song that I heard that I went, I need to explore this.
This song makes me like cry. I love this song. It's pretty great.
And it just sounded, when I remember hearing it on the college radio station as I drove to high school and went like, I need to know what band this is. And then finding out it was the same band that did.
The Sun is a Massive Incandescent.
Yeah, exactly. And all those other things and like putting it together and actually like seeing, not knowing of the connection, but going like, oh, this is kind of like the
here's
Talking
Heads. Here's
the chorus. In the
glow of each other's majestic sense. Yeah.
It's an amazing song, and it sounded so different than everything else. And I think it was even like contemporary, like this album had just come out. Wait, this is 98 or 89?
No, this is like 80s still.
Yeah,
this is.
No, so it was.
This is off of Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, when did that come out? Like 88?
I think that was 89.
Your job.
But it just
when the accordion comes in right there, it's so good.
It's not, and that was not something I was used to hearing in music that I enjoyed was accordion, and so it was just that sort of weird instrumental of it, of like somebody's taking something I had completely dismissed and putting it in music I liked. That's weird. I'm gonna follow that. So that was what I
didn't they have but, like a telephone number you could call
dial song.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, they had a lot of stuff, and it's all very weird and very serious. And now I see it fitting into like new wave and punk and sort of like the East Village where they were from. But at the time, it was just like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I have a very I love They Might Be Giants, but I do have a slightly tainted memory of them because in my kind of like in the first like 2 years probably of touring with Motion City, we played this club in Boston that is no longer there. It's now become a House of Blues, the Axis, right? Or the Avalon and the Axis, is Avalon, that what they were called? Yeah, but there was two rooms and I think the other one was called the Axis, I think. But we were playing the smaller room, and the same night we were playing They Might Be Giants was playing the big room.
Oh shit.
And so, like, you know, once we were finished, like, oh, cool. Like, we could go, like, watch them if we wanted. And so I decided to go do that. And one of the other people that was on the tour also was over there watching. And we're kind of watching from side of stage. And I'm, like, excited to be seeing them. But this other guy, way more excited about seeing them and is dancing like crazy and singing along every song to me.
No, man.
Literally blot like standing in front of me singing at me.
Not cool.
That's not cool.
And that's
salty banana.
That's what I think of, unfortunately, now.
Like
when
even
I
if
hear
you knew that guy and went together, that would not be like you wouldn't be friends with him after you left.
No. And I already knew he was a weird guy. I didn't know him well, but he was clearly weird and then
Yeah. That's a weird band to be that enthusiastic about, too.
I've met quite a few people that are might be heads. I don't know.
No matter what?
Giants heads? I don't know. That doesn't quite work. Might be Giants heads.
There was my friend Chuck was way into They Might Be Giants when we were all getting into punk, and like he kind of was into them, but then he felt weird about being into them, and so he started turning his shirt inside out because he liked the way the shirt fit.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, so he started just putting the shirt inside out, and then I remember like when he there was like some show where he like finally wore it out. He was like, "Yeah, I don't care anymore." You know, we're like, yeah, Chuck, that's fine. We never cared either. Yeah. It was weird that you were ashamed of a band that you had all their albums.
My grandfather gave me a Goldschlager shirt that I had to turn inside out because they wouldn't let you wear it at school.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't realize it because I didn't drink or anything, but like I was like, oh, right, I guess that's booze.
Not yeah, it's cool. The booze with gold in it. I think that might
that's
might
from
have been
that's
the
like
first.
That's the one that's like the whole storyline of Superbad.
Yeah,
he needs to go get Goldschlager.
It was the
don't
first.
They call it something fake though? I feel like they make up a fake name.
Oh, did
for
they?
It. I think so.
Hmm. I don't know. Well, that's it for our show.
Hey!
We want to thank Tony Thaxton. Please be sure to check out your podcast, Bizarre Albums.
Yes, thank you. Every Tuesday.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
Correct.
Wherever podcasts are sold. It's if you liked any of the music, please be sure to check it out. Also, there's a thing I guess podcasts need to ask for, which is to...
Like and subscribe.
Oh, well.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Here's the thing. Now that we're on this new network and it's and we're really excited to be a part of the Sklar Bro country, please do dumb shit and rate us really well, but then write dumb shit and we'll go in and check it out and we'll read it. But make weird shit. Like make up stuff that happened on the show and then like say we figured out we talked to aliens, we did this, we talked to we did a seance and we talked to Tupac, shit like that.
Please mention Neil as much as you can.
We really appreciate it. Check out Tony Thaxton at Tony Thaxton on all the social meds.
Yes.
And also the You Can't Call Me Al EP on Asian Man Records is coming out on August 16th.
I can't tell you how cool that is that I know somebody with an album on Asian Man Records.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
San Jose. Give you full credit for that.
One of the first albums I bought from a local band in Hawaii, the Tantra Monsters, was on Dill Records, which would become Asian Man Records.
Nice.
But working with a legend in punk rock like Mike Park, who is really like, I don't know, I think I'd go as far to say, you know, it's not like same generation, but West Coast Ian MacKaye.
Yeah.
Like, the way his ethos push everything he does.
He probably knows more horns players than Ian MacKaye.
That's a good point.
Yep.
That's a very good point. But anyway, we're going to end with a, you know what? Fuck it. Let's end with a fucking song from Mike Parks, one of his best bands. He has a lot of great bands, but his band, The Chinkies, are pretty great.
Hanson Brothers.
Slapshot. Oh, Hanson Brothers.
Yeah, we got it in.
I thought you were making a joke as Hanson was on Asian Man.
Yeah. Anyway, this is You Don't Know by The Chinkies off the album Are Coming.
Sorry about the first episode.